Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for March 26, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In agricultural news, a new report from Rabobank suggests PEDV in the U.S. may be more widespread than originally thought. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason looks forward with ag economist Darrell Good to key USDA end of the month reports. And meteorologist Drew Lerner will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Wednesday afternoon. Hard red winter May wheat settled at 771 and a quarter, down 4.5. July, 771 and a half, down 2. Soft May wheat settled at 696 and 3 quarters, down 11 and a half. July, 701 and a quarter, down 10 and a half. May corn settled at 484 and a half, down 2. July, 489 and a quarter, down 2. December, 484, down 2 and a quarter. May soybeans settled at 1440. They were up 12 on the day. July, 1410, up 8 and 3 quarters. November, 1193 and a quarter, up 4 and a half. May soybean meal settled at 469.10, up 540. May soybean oil settled at 4073, down a penny. April live cattles. These are last trades. 145.67 and a half, up 130. March feeders, 177.92 and a half, up 70. And April lean hogs, 122.60. They're up 95. And those are last trades and settlements for Wednesday from the Chicago Board of Trade. Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says cool and wet soil conditions will delay early planting in much of the lower Midwest through at least the first week in April. Some fields may firm up enough to allow for planting early next week, but with soil temperatures still expected to be cooler than usual and only marginally supportive of corn germination, many producers will likely wait to plant until conditions improve. Rain will return to nearly all the Midwest tonight into Thursday, with some light snow occurring from southeastern South Dakota to central and northern Wisconsin. A follow-up round of rain will occur Friday into Saturday, with Kentucky into Ohio wettest. A few days of warmer and mostly dry weather will follow, and some fields in the lower Midwest should warm enough that soil temperatures are marginally high enough to allow corn to germinate, and planting may occur in a few areas. A strong storm system will bring cooler temperatures and nearly widespread rain to the Midwest Tuesday through Friday of next week, and field work will be slowed again. A few days of mostly dry weather will follow, but conditions for field work will be slow to improve as temperatures will remain cool. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
A lot of reports coming up. I think we should take them in chronological order.
Okay.
That would mean hogs and pigs report out Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. What are the potential impacts on that report, I suppose, first for corn usage?
Well, you know, I'm certain that the market, you know, the traders in the grain pit are going to be watching it very close to see once just how many animals have been kept for breeding, you know, all the hogs and pigs that are on. And as far as the trade goes in the livestock sector, we're going to be watching the December to February pig crop, because that is the crop that will come out as full-grown pigs in the May to July timeframe, which is normally our lowest meat availability. And, you know, it's interesting because if you look at the guesses, Dave, they're anywhere from negative 9.2% all the way to plus 1.4%. So there's really not a lot of agreement as to how severe the PEDV is. And I know I just heard you talking about Rabobank. We'll be looking at pigs per litter. The guesses there are 9.2 to 9.6. We were 10 on the last quarterly report, and we've been 11 prior to that. So that will be another indication as to what PEDV has done out there. So it's going to be a very interesting report. If we come in, we see kept for breeding, you know, right around the 99.4, which is what the expectation is. You know, that would imply that we'd have enough hogs 11 months down the road. But the reality is, you know, hog weights jumped 6 pounds last week, up to 283 pounds, and we're doing a good job of still supplying the meat just by putting more onto the individual hoof, and we're hearing processors say that they probably won't dock these guys, even if they have more need for it. I think you brought up a great question this morning when we talked, Dave, though. You said, you know, about Russia, mm-hmm. and will Russia actually follow through and buy our hogs, you know, as we're thinking they're supposed to? That's a big if right now.
So that takes care of the hogs and pigs side. And then on Monday, planting intentions and quarterly grain stocks. Could be the quarterly grain stocks is the most important report, particularly given that, if you recall 3 months ago when we had the release of the report, we all went, huh, about corn.
Yeah, there's no question about that. That high is going to be a big part of what we're looking at when we see that come out at 11 o'clock. You know, the expectations for corn are a little over 7 billion. And, you know, the reality is last year at this time we were at 5.4 billion. So we are still a great deal higher. Now, will we come in at the 7, close to 0.1, or will we actually come in at 6.7 and see some makeup for what we saw the last time? Or are we going to come in at 7.3? Nobody really feels comfortable about that. And, of course, you know, that's going to be the driver for old crop and new crop both, because if we have more stocks, of course, old crop loses in value, and that implies that more gets carried into new crop or vice versa. So it, you know, I think you mentioned this morning when we talked that we've seen some pretty wild swings in these reports, and this one is setting itself up to be exactly like that.
It is. It could be a very volatile Monday for sure. And then we have the planting intentions report. And I don't think you could drive 1,000 miles from Champaign-Urbana and find more than five people who think that the numbers are going to be bullish.
Well, I think you're probably very right about that. You know, the USDA had 92 million acres for, you know, for corn and 79.5 for beans. The reality is, this report, the guesses right now are reflecting 174 million acres planted between corn and beans, which is much more realistic and more normal. The big question comes to, will it be that high, considering that we've taken corn price down? Well, we've now rallied back on corn price significantly. And, you know, if you look at the big picture, I think the swing is a little different than what they thought it was going to be. December corn is 46 cents off of its lows. You know, old crop corn is 68 off of its lows. So there's a question as to whether that is going to be reflected in this report and whether the farmer even feels comfortable about what he's going to do. Everything is going to come down to weather. You know, when you were talking about what Drew said, I looked at his soil temperature maps this morning. Boy, it's pretty doggone scary. You have to go down to northern Texas, northern Louisiana, and southern Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia to even find – anything that's in that 45 to 50 degree mm-hmm. range. And when you come north, it just gets worse. You know, southern Illinois, 35 to 40, northern and central, 30 to 35. And above us, you know, 25 to 30, it's pretty darn cold. Now, I do believe the perception on the trade side, Dave, will be that we're going to get some rain, which is what we're talking about. We're going to have some warmer temperatures. We all know that that's what we really need to bring this, you know, to be able to bring the frost up out of the ground. And we certainly need moisture. Not us so much. I mean, Drew had his maps out from the 24th of March this morning, too, and he said, we're nice and moist here in Illinois. We're pretty good. Half of Iowa is pretty good. But, boy, when you get into that western portion, that is just plain ugly. And you're talking about marginal moisture to limited moisture, and yet, you know, the trade tends to look at them and say, you can irrigate, you know, so... at this time of year, they don't count a whole lot in that respect. The thing that will count is whether or not they actually have the water available to them. And the further west you go, the less water there is.
So we'll be looking at ending stocks very closely, and they'll be implied off that quarterly grain stocks report. But we'll all be putting our pencil to it, trying to figure out what the number is. Of course, complicating things on the soybean side somewhat is the fact that that China is shopping South America soybeans into the U.S. So what might have been a very friendly number, maybe neutral or maybe even a little bit bearish by Monday.
That's absolutely the truth. And when you look at, I was really surprised, you know, when you look at the average guesses, they're only about 9 million bushels below where we were last year at mm-hmm. this time. I would have expected it to be a great deal less than that. And so I'm thinking most people are putting some of the imports in, because we know we've been importing beans mm-hmm. into the East Coast and into the Gulf both. And so it's going to be, everybody will be looking to see what the USDA thinks and what is actually, who has the most stocks. Is it the farmer or is it the commercial? That'll be another big thing we'll be watching. And the wheat situation too, Dave, you know, when you look at the expectation is for a little over a billion bushel stocks. And last year we were at 1,235,000,000. So, you know, that's quite a significant drop on the wheat side of things. So I think this is going to be a difficult report in the respect that you could have a very bullish on one side, you could have a very bearish on the other side, and kind of a neutral, and the market just doesn't know what to do. And okay. So what scares me is when you look at, you know, May beans being up $1.57 this month, November up $1.05, Chicago wheat in July and okay. December up $1.33 and $1.36, and KC wheat up in July and December, $1.56 and $1.49. Certainly sounds to me like we better be prepared to have the downside protected.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you,
all
Jackie.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, a new report from Rabobank says that the recent outbreak a PED virus in the U.S. could put a serious dent in hog production and slaughter through 2014. The report states that to date, PED has affected about 60% of the breeding herd in the U.S., about 28% of the herd in Mexico, and has begun to spread in Canada. The report suggests that the spread of PED at its current rate could result in a 12.5% decline in North American hog slaughter compared to 2013, or a drop of almost 18.5 million hogs. Rabobank projects U.S. pork production could decline as much as 6-7% in 2014, marking the largest fall in production in three decades. USDA will release its latest quarterly hogs and pigs report this Friday afternoon. Scientists of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change say the dangers of a warming Earth are immediate and very human. The key message from leaked drafts and interviews with the authors and other scientists, the big risks and overall effects of global warming are far more immediate and local than scientists once thought. The report says scientists have already observed many changes from warming, such as an increase in heat waves in North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. If climate change continues, the report suggests that in the issues of food, global food prices will rise between 3% and 84% by 2050 because of warmer temperatures and changes in rain patterns. And water, about one-third of the world's population will see groundwater supplies drop by more than 10% by 2080 when compared with 1980 levels. Meanwhile, the head of the UN Weather Agency says that recent extreme weather patterns are consistent with human-induced climate change. The UN agency called 2013 the sixth warmest year on record. Disasters such as floods in Europe, winter storms in the U.S., and typhoons in Asia cost insurance companies $45 billion in 2013. The U.S., which suffered severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, hail, and winter storms, had a total of $32 billion in damage, of which $19 billion was insured. The House Ways and Means Committee will hold hearings and markups in April to decide which of the nearly five dozen temporary tax provisions, including those on biodiesel, that expired at the end of 2013 should be kept. Chairman Dave Camp says the discussion about the tax extenders is another step toward his broader goal of overhauling the U.S. tax code, saying a short extension of tax policies is no way to legislate. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. March is one of 4 months that contain an unusually large number of USDA reports. Along with the monthly WASDE and crop production numbers, we also get in March from USDA a quarterly grains stock report, a quarterly hogs and pigs report, and planting intentions for the new growing season. Todd Gleason has more.
The number of reports is larger in January, March, June, and September when various quarterly USDA reports are released. It makes this month, March, an important one for Midwestern row crop commodities, corn and soybeans. So far this month, information in the regular reports has generally been supportive to prices. The Census Bureau report of January 2014 exports is running ahead of inspections for both crops. The monthly supply and demand tables reflected tighter year-ending stocks. And the National Oilseed Processors Association, or NOPA, is estimating the February crush exceeded that of a year ago. Add to this USDA's monthly cattle on feed report released last Friday, which indicated feedlots with a capacity of 1,000 head or more placed 15% more cattle during February 2014 than during February of 2013, and you can find reason to be optimistic higher prices. There's even more supportive news, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
In addition to the support found in these monthly reports, weekly reports have also been generally supportive for corn and soybean prices. Weekly estimates indicate that ethanol production in March 2014 is running about 10% above production in March last year. Weekly export reports reveal a pace of new sales and shipments for both crops that exceed the pace required to meet the USDA projections for the year.
Well, the most important reports for old and new crop corn and soybean price prospects are still to come. Friday, USDA will release the quarterly hogs and pigs report. Among other things, thanks Daryl Good, this report will reveal the size of the pig crop during the previous quarter. That's December of last year to February of this year. The inventory of market hogs by weight group as of March the 1st, and farrowing intentions for the spring and summer months. The estimates will reveal the impact of the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PEDV, and determine if the meteoric rise in hog prices has been needed to limit demand. On Monday, March the 31st, USDA will release the quarterly grain stocks. The estimate of March 1 corn stocks, along with the estimate of the March 1 hog inventory, will be important for projecting feed and residual use of corn for the current marketing year. The agency will also release the annual prospective plantings report. Based on a farmer survey earlier this month, the report will reveal planting intentions for all major spring planted crops.
One of the major benefits of the information in this report is to allow producers to adjust their planting intentions to market signals. If soybean planting intentions are near the high end of expectations, new crop prices will likely have to adjust to encourage fewer acres of soybeans and more acres of other crops.
The size of the price adjustment, if any, needed to alter intentions may also be influenced by spring weather conditions. That is to say, if the weather remains cold and then turns wet, prospects for a late planting season might require a larger price adjustment to discourage soybean acreage and motivate more corn acres. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Scott Butcher of the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Ethanol out there in Clymers, that's something you guys work on every single day for the grind. And the prices have been outstanding, and the money has been good. I wonder what your thoughts are, though, the second quarter, the period of April, May, and June. What do you think the expectations for ethanol grind will be then?
We look for things to stay pretty good, Dave. I mean, really, looking out into the next quarter, you know, it seems like things are going to be continue to stay exactly where they have been, in positive margins, and everything seems to be good here for the time being.
And, of course, with the excellent ethanol grind comes DDGs, and, boy, we've made a lot of DDGs over the winter. But we're hearing that there have been some difficulties in some locales getting trains to move them.
Yeah, there definitely has been. And that's really a larger issue, not just DDGs, but rail freight has been hard to come by everywhere. I think with the winter that we had, you know, it was very slow moving cars from one place to the next because of the poor conditions, and really affected a lot of different businesses, I'm sure.
So your DDGs go where?
Really all over the place. You know, we have a good feeder market in our area that a lot of them go out by truck. We do see some of them go to the container market up around Chicago and go to for the export market. And then we also see, obviously, some of that go to the southeast to the feeder market on rail. So it's a very wide area that encompasses.
What's your anticipations for planting intentions report? I'm sure that's a topic you guys have been talking a lot about.
Yeah, we have. You know, and I guess here lately we've kind of come to the conclusion, or, you know, maybe feel like with the late planting that we're going to have, with the amount of cold weather that we're still experiencing and things are slow to warm up, you know, maybe we don't see much change in the acreage numbers from what we expect on Monday, just because of the lack of activity so far. You know, normally this time of year, we would at least have some sort of, you know, farmers doing something, not necessarily in our area, but to the south, and so far, that's not really the case.
Why don't we go ahead and get your prices for the day then, please?
Cash corn, $4.80, beans, $14.55.
Thank you much, Scott.
You bet.
That's Scott Butcher of the Andersons over in Clymers, Indiana. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with Drew Lerner, meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Nougat Day. Nougat most likely originated in southern Europe, where it was largely associated with the Christmas season. By the way, today's nougat is nothing like the original, which was often made with sugar or honey, roasted nuts, and sometimes chopped candied fruit. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Benjamin Thompson, who was also known as Count von Rumford, was born. Rumford was an American physician who invented the percolator, a pressure cooker, and a kitchen stove. He is frequently credited with creating the dessert Baked Alaska, as well as thermal underwear. In 1936, Fred Maytag died. Maytag was an American industrialist who began a farm implement business in Newton, Iowa. He made threshing machines, band cutters, and self-feeder attachments. By 1902, the company was the world's largest manufacturer of threshing machine feeders. But it was another machine that would prove the test of time. Maytag also built washing machines. The first was the 1907 Parsons Pastime. It was a hand-powered cypress wooden tub. In 1996, David Packard died. He was the founder, along with William Hewlett, of the Hewlett-Packard Company. Before they became famous for computers and printers, some of their early inventions were an automatic urinal flusher and a weight loss shock machine. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He is in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
The weather is like a yo-yo. One day it's kind of warm, the next day it's very cold, and whenever the cold comes, it seems like we get rain along with it. Any potential for change in this outlook?
Well, you know what? I just don't think there is. I think this is probably one of the most dominating upper air flow patterns that I think I can remember in my 35 years of career here. Just a persistent pattern where systems are coming out of the northwest and moving across the region. We're trying real hard to create some kind of spring semblance here, but as the warmer air tries to get into the southern U.S., this colder airflow from the northwest just continues to do battle with it and overtake it. And that's why we're bouncing around like this, and we're going to continue to do that at least through the month of April. And the big frustration for the producers out there is that, you know, next week is April, and we want to get into the fields and start pushing some seeds into the soil. And we can probably do that in a few places. I think we'll probably be up close to the germination threshold in southern parts of Illinois or parts of Missouri or over into Kentucky as we get through the week next week. But as you said, it's just every other day we're going to get hit with some kind of a cool air mass, and we're going to get some precipitation to come with it. So field working conditions will be much less than ideal, and there's still a lot of cold in just below top layers of soil that we want to plant in, so we can get the seed in there and it might germinate, but where are those roots going to go with it so cold just underneath that? And I think we're going to have to wait a while.
So I think most producers may opt to plant a little bit later. Long-term forecasts are iffy at best, but do you see anything on the horizon that might suggest that this pattern could break up?
I think we can probably expect a little bit of improvement in the pattern as time moves on, but a complete end to it, no, not for a while, probably sometime in May. But what I mean by improvement here is that as we start warming the atmosphere, the jet stream is going to shift a little further to the north, and as each week goes by, we'll see a little less extreme on the temperatures, and even though we're going to continue to have bouts of coolness around, we are going to see some warming. The soil will get better for planting and germination. So I don't want to make it all sound like a big discouragement. We will be able to get in the fields, but it is going to be one of those years with the cool soil temperatures down deep and the moisture pattern being what it is, that it is not going to be an aggressive planting season. We will be slow with it, and it'll probably be that way for a while. We'll get a little window in there somewhere where we'll go 4 and 5 days without rain and it'll get warm, and that's when we're going to be all over it.
Turn your attention briefly to out west over the Dome of Death.
The Dome of Death? Are we talking about hard red winter wheat country?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah, things are pretty serious out there. There is some rain that moved through a part of wheat country here today, and we're going to see that shifting into the Midwest here over the next couple of days. The moisture, though, that occurred in the southwest plains was just not enough to make a difference, and that's going to continue to be the case with each little disturbance that comes along, taking us all the way through next week.
Thank you, Drew.
Have a good day.
That's meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.